Zechariah. Let's return to the book of Zechariah. I better give you a head start there, give you a little bit. And it's after Genesis, before Revelation. Hope that helps you. And what a undeserved honor to get to be just part of this. And Brother Harold is awfully kind to entrust a privilege like that to somebody undeserving. I appreciate it. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk about Daniel Hawtrey. You don't need much of that. We're going to jump into the Word of God. If I can, give you a quick word of advice for what it's worth. I have found myself at times with conferences, I've heard so much that I almost can't process it. And I try to keep notes, and all week I've been, you know, things, I'm keeping notes, all these different things. And I found sometimes when I have so many decisions I need to make, it's almost overwhelming, and you'll end up not making any. And I encourage you, pick you one. Get one, maybe two. Keep your notes. And determine when you go home, I'm going to focus on this one or this two. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't say the giant leaps. It doesn't say the giant strides. So pick out a step that, you know, when I get home, I'm going to do this. And do that, and then keep taking the next step. You've heard so much to keep you busy for a year till you come back next year. I promise you that. You could pick Brother Harold's message or any of Brother Lynch's messages. Any of those on their own would have been worth coming to Roanoke for. And I appreciate them so, so very much. And I love Brother Harold. I just love evangelists. My dad was one his entire life. I have a heart for that. I know the life. And I appreciate him. I appreciate Brother Ron. It's just, it's sentimental for somebody like me to be around evangelists. Brother Harold talked about the couples conference and said, it's good to get to spend time with your honey. And you said, when you said honey, I thought my dad always said, when you're out with your honey and your nose gets runny and you really think it's funny, but it's not. My dad would always. I just love evangelists. They're a gift, the Bible says. A gift to the church. I have found over the years, I wish when my 10 years I was in full-time evangelism, I just don't think I knew at that point like I should have known to be. But I think evangelists aren't just a gift to the church, they're a gift to the pastor. And an evangelist ministry most of the time is as much to the pastor as it is to the church. And boy, these two men are examples, and I just appreciate it so much, and I'm just very, very grateful. My staff told me that the sweater vest wasn't slimming enough, so I had to go full-fledged sleeve, and they said, this still isn't enough, so I'm going to start preaching in a black tracksuit. That's what I'm going to do, and maybe that'll, you know, anything but to have to lose weight. So Zechariah chapter 11, I want to speak on this subject this morning to kind of motivate you a little bit as you leave on when the cedars are falling. When the cedars are falling. Old Testament's interesting. You got to give context. I'll do my best to try to give it briefly. At my church, I do expository preaching. That's just all I do. I alliterate everything. When I discipline my kids, it's alliterated. It's almost embarrassing. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. Look at verse 6. God says, for I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. God speaks through Zechariah about Israel and about its temporary revival, but its coming judgment. You know, Israel is often a picture of you and me in context. Zechariah prophesied about the same time as Haggai. It was during the reign of Josiah, and he was a good king. The Bible says that Jeremiah wept when he died. In chapter 11, God gives a metaphor. God gave Zechariah numerous visions about the state of Israel, and The context, this Old Testament context, how it is applied to us is that the things that God saw in Israel, he often sees in us. We all know the Exodus out of Egypt. All of us that are pastors, how often do we reference that? Because it's just a picture of us. They are God's chosen people, but we're God's called people. And what we see Israel often doing is we can look and see in our own life. And God gave Zechariah a vision about this. And this is the vision that God gives. It was a metaphor that when God began to move through Israel at this period of time, the rebellion and the things that were going on at this point, God gives a metaphor of describing what was happening here in Israel. And it's a metaphor that God was walking into a forest, and the cedars represented the older generation, and the lowly fir and oak trees, who were just the little trees among cedars. Here they were mixed in with these older, larger, more aged, stronger trees. And what he saw was that those tall cedars were falling down. The ones that had been the leaders were now disappearing. They were falling down. They were no longer standing. And so God comes here in verse 1 and 2 to Israel, and he is talking to this generation, and he says, listen, what I see is that the cedars are fallen. And he said, you little fir trees and you little oak trees, you need to start howling. You need to step up and do your job. This passage got my attention a little bit, and God deals with the older generation and their stubbornness throughout this entire book. Chapter 1, verse 2, and you don't need to turn to it, it'll be here on there, but it starts the book, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Chapter 1, verse 4, he says, be not as your fathers. They were the cedars, by the way. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 13, therefore it has come to pass, God says, that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, God says, and I would not hear. God says, listen, I cried out to you, you didn't listen to me. Boy, things change, don't they? And now you're crying out to me, God says, I'm not listening to you. Interesting. Can I give you some quick facts about the cedars of Lebanon this morning? Let's pray. God, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. Pray you'd bless, give wisdom these precious men as they head home. I think of me and some of my staff that are here. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be better men, better husbands, better fathers, but most of all, better Christians, better children to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cedars were an evergreen, what they call coniferous tree. Cedars would grow up to 130 to 150 feet tall. They would have a trunk that many times would come up to 9 feet across. And these cedars of Lebanon, they call them, they grew abundantly in Lebanon, in Turkey, is what we would know, and especially only in the higher altitudes. Most trees couldn't exist. And from somewhere about 3,800 feet to about 3,800 feet to about 6,800 to 900 feet, these cedars of Lebanon would grow, and most trees couldn't exist. But here's what would happen in those high altitudes. As those cedars would grow, all of a sudden fir trees and oak trees would begin to pop up. Now, those trees could not exist in those altitudes on their own. But because of the cedars being there, they protected it enough that these little fir trees and oak trees could grow up amongst them. And before long, you'd have a forest. What's interesting about it is that the fir and oak trees are the younger generation. And not just by age, I mean spiritual maturity. And the cedars in this passage, as God gives in through Zechariah, I don't have time to take you through the entire book, but that older generation, their fathers and who used to be the leaders, they're now not listening to God. These cedars of Lebanon were used by the Phoenicians for building commercial and military ships, and as well as they would use these cedars of Lebanon to build houses and palaces and temples, and ancient Egyptians would use its resin for mummification. Sawdust from Lebanon cedars were found in the tombs of pharaohs. Hebrew priests were ordered by Moses to use the bark of these cedars of Lebanon to treat leprosy. It was used in constructing Solomon's temple, David's palace. But in our present day, deforestation, they call it, has occurred. They've cut down so many, and there's just none growing in their place. Interesting. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1, if you look at it. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. How, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. O ye oaks of Bashan, the force of the vintage is come. This word mighty, it means here literally in the Hebrew, strong, stable, settled, significant. It's talking about those who had been strong, had been stable, had been significant. This word vintage is something that has longevity. It's been around for a while. It's what set the example. God describes walking into a forest and finding that those who had been stable were no longer stable. And God describes, as he goes through Israel, that he sees a bunch of individuals that used to be mighty, but now were weak. May I say this, God was saying that those who had been faithful were now faltering. Those who had been mighty were now missing. Those who had been dependable were now destroyed. Those who had been strong were now susceptible. Those who had been consistent were now corroded. What had always been the example of victory was now the example of defeat. Those that had always been looked up to now couldn't be found. What had provided protection was now just a pile of dead wood. God asked in verse 2 for the fir tree and the oak tree to step up and make up for the absence of the cedars. Although those smaller trees had depended on the larger trees to even exist, they couldn't have existed in that altitude without those trees. God said, now it's time for you to step up. Such is the case in our churches today, by the way. Amen. And let me say this. I see what I have seen, what little I guess I get to do. I see that the cedars are falling. And I see that the fir trees and the oak trees need to step up. Question number one. Let me ask you this. Why are cedars so important? Why would God use this such as a metaphor? May I say number one, and I have found in my life, and cedars would represent the ones that we've looked up to and the stable ones. May I say number one, cedars are essential. Amen. You know, the safety of the forest comes from the numbers. Every tree does their part. The stronger tree helps protect the weaker tree and gives them time to develop. The taller trees help the shorter trees. The older trees help the younger trees. The cedars were the first line of defense. The cedars had the experience. The cedars had the wisdom. And may I say, young preachers need older preachers. Young Christians need older Christians. New converts need mature converts. We have churches that aren't full, and we have people that aren't being saved because the cedars have fallen. They used to be strong. They used to be stable. Hey, I can't tell you how many churches growing up with my mom and dad in evangelism, and I have seen some of those churches today. I mean, churches that were thriving and whatever aren't even churches anymore. I mean, I look around and I see that, man, where is these cedars that we used to look up to? And where is all these things? And let me tell you why it's so good for you to come to a meeting like this. Because you get to be around a cedar like Harold Vaughn. You get to be around a cedar like Glenn Matthews. Now, may I say this, and I said it in my breakout session yesterday, but of all the wonderful preaching that these men have done, if you only came up here and saw Brother Harold present Brother Glenn Matthews, 69 years of preaching, gives him a plaque, and that man weeps because he doesn't feel worthy. That's all you needed to see. I sat there and bawled. I said, God, make me like that. I don't want to get old and bitter and crusty and mad at everybody and preaching against everybody and blessing everybody out of the water and all those things. I want to be sweet. I want to be kind. I want to be merciful. I want to be loving. I want to be grateful. And I want to be humble. I look around. I see that cedars are essential. I want some of you to know, some of you think that you're up in age a little bit, and I'm here to tell you, you are. My dad always said, I'm a sharp dresser, but my middle drawer's out too far. That's what my dad would always say. My dad was preaching a meeting one time, and the guy came up to him and said, looks like you got a chicken coop there. Baptist preachers eat chicken, I guess that's what he was saying. Rod, where are you at? Where are you at, Rod? Are you here this morning? Rod, wave at me if you're here. Rod, stand up just for a second. Rod came to me after the session yesterday, and he was 18 years old, 1966, 18 years old. My dad preached in Lexington, North Carolina, and led him to the Lord. Amen. He said, I never saw him again. Isn't that something? I am growing up, we used to eat at Shoney's. How many of you, older generation, now if you raise your hand, you know where you stand in age, okay? I ate at Shoney's so much I became a big boy. But, you know, it's a totally different subject. I loved basketball so much, now I am one. I could go all day. We were at Shoney's restaurant eating one time, and the pastor and his family and my mom and dad and me were there eating at Shoney's. That's what every Christian did after church back in those days. And this guy and his wife were in there eating, and this guy was drunk. And he was cussing up a storm. There was hardly anybody there. We were just over there sitting in a group, and this guy's just cussing the waitress, just cussing everybody. And my dad was getting madder and madder. My dad, again, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I mean, he was rough. He got caught stealing gas. The judge said, listen, you go to jail or you go to the Air Force. My dad said, I want to go to the Army. He said, no, that's 2 years. Air Force is 4 years. So my dad went to the Air Force, ended up Homestead, Florida, running a road grader when he got out of the military. And you heard the story yesterday, different things. So my dad was a rough guy. And we're sitting there, and I remember this like it was yesterday. And this guy's cussing up a storm. And my dad finally gets up and he goes over. He says, excuse me, sir. Listen, I know it's a free country, but I got a young son over there and we got children. Would you mind just not cussing? We would just really appreciate that. It's just we've tried to protect him from stuff like that. And then he looked and he cussed at my dad. My dad said, no, sir, I'm just asking you nicely, okay? And my dad came back and sat down. Well, this guy just kept getting louder. My dad had it. And he got up and went to the lady was sitting there, and he said, ma'am, excuse me. And he grabbed that guy by the shirt, picked him up, drug him outside of Shoney's. My dad's outside beating, boom, boom. My dad beat the stuffing out of that guy, left him laying out there, came back in and said, ma'am, I'm sorry about that. It's the greatest memory I've had in my life. That was back in those days. Nowadays, here's your mugshot, you know, kind of a thing, you know. It was great. Let me tell you something. Cedars are essential. Young converts aren't going to know how to do things. They're not going to know how to grow. They need some time to develop. You don't get somebody saved and make them a Sunday school teacher next week. But they've got to grow and they've got to learn. And the Bible says the older teach the younger. The mature teach the immature and all those things. And may I say the cedars are essential. But if the cedars start dropping everywhere, the fir trees and the oak trees aren't going to have any chance. Cedars are essential. May I say, secondly, cedars are encouraging. Do you know it's comforting to see tall cedars standing in the forest? Do you know it's comforting when you see people still faithful who were faithful years ago? That means the world. Do you know it's comforting when you see someone who's taught Sunday school and they're still teaching Sunday school? It's comforting when you see someone who sang in the choir years ago and they're still singing in the choir. It's comforting when you see individuals that have had some convictions over the years and they still have those convictions. It's encouraging. It's comforting. It's a barometer. It gives people a chance to keep themselves centered. And the ups and downs in life, to look and say, you know what, if that man and if that woman can stay faithful and stay like they are, and if they can be consistent, and look at me, dear friend, you don't have to be talented and gifted. You just got to be consistent. Cedars are encouraging. May I say third, cedars are endangered. There's so many used to be's. So many that used to be conservative, used to have convictions, used to go soul winning, used to preach right, used to be biblical. There's a whole lot out there nowadays, even in, it doesn't matter what circle you're in. And I don't care, by the way, what circle you're in. I'm tired of circles. There's a lot of people that say they claim to have old-time religion that don't. So question number two. So why are these cedars falling? God says, now he moved through his people. And he said, what I see is that the cedars are falling. So why are the cedars falling? Can I give you number one? I want you to notice that cedars fall because of storms. Verse two, he says, how, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Do you know why storms knock down trees? They knock down trees when the roots aren't strong enough for the winds that they face. You see, the tree might look tall on the outside, but if the roots aren't deep, they will fall when the first storm comes. We've seen a lot of trees over the years look strong on the outside, but we found out later that those roots weren't running very deep. We've taught our future generations how to look good and act good and put on an impressive show, but we have not taught them how to put down roots. We've taught them the surface Christianity. We've taught them how to perform. We've taught them the rules, but no relationship. And the roots aren't deep. And the first storm that comes in their life, we put the emphasis on what is above ground, not on what's below ground. Pastors leave the ministry many times because of storms. The storms of change. The storms of criticism. Boy, if I had time to develop on that one. The storms of conflict. The storms of confusion. Why are the cedars falling? Well, many times because of storms, difficulty, and the roots just weren't strong enough to keep them standing. May I say, secondly, why are the cedars falling? Number two is because of sin. Notice what it says here. The mighty are spoiled. The cedars are falling, but the mighty are spoiled. This describes a tree that begins to rot from the inside. It gets some disease or some sickness that begins to kill the tree from the inside. And it's not seen at first. The tree still looks fine on the outside, but that's what we call sin. And we can fake it for a long time. And it looks good. It looks like it's always looked. And we say, thank God for that cedar. But when sin gets in our life and stays in our life and sets up camp in our life, before long, that tree is coming down. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now listen, I'm saved, and so I know that I don't have to face hell. But sin still kills things in your life. Sin kills marriages. Sin kills relationships. Sin can kill your peace. It can kill, if you let it, your joy. Sin has wages. And the Bible says it brings forth death. Isaiah 2:11 says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Be sure your sin will find you out. About the time you think you're real nice and tall, God can bring you down. Number three, why are the cedars falling? Well, because of storms, because of sin. Can I say third that trees often fall because of starvation? You see, in verse 2, it says, how, fir tree, the cedar's fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. How, O ye oaks of Bashan, notice, for the forest of the vintage is coming down. They had dried out. They weren't getting nutrients. The Bible said he's the vine and we're the branches. John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. But you know oftentimes why cedars that used to be strong and they're spoiled, those that used to be mighty, is because they're not getting any nutrients. They're not getting fed. See, they just show up Sunday morning and think the pastor's got to feed them for the entire week. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, listen, if you're going to stay strong, and if you're going to keep from falling, you're going to have to get some nutrients from God's word, or you're going to dry up and fall. We have a generation of people that everybody thought were cedars, but they really didn't get into the word of God. I appreciate Brother Stoney, this conference he's having about expository preaching and things. And listen, nobody's trying to tell everybody how you have to preach. But for years, we'd have a guy read a verse, preach 80 minutes on that verse, and never even mention that verse. He'd have 50 stories, 30 things that didn't have anything to do with the passage he read, and the altars were full of people not even knowing what they're doing. And we said, that was the cedar. Ended up where it wasn't. And I am saying this, you're going to starve if you don't get in the Word of God. And if you don't get in the Word of God, the cedar's going to fall. May I say, fourthly, why are these cedars falling? Because of their surroundings. Cedars thrive best in the higher altitudes, on the higher roads. They don't thrive very well. Cedars don't thrive well in low places where the air isn't pure. These cedars of Lebanon don't grow in the valleys. They grow on the mountains. They grow in the higher altitudes. And you know what that means? Listen to me, dear friend. As Christians, you and I should not be able to exist very well in low altitudes. We start putting ourselves around the world, the surroundings will kill us. I got a lot more I can say about that, but for my time, may I say sixthly, sickness. Why are the cedars falling? Because sometimes it's just the season. I felt my dad was a cedar. Well, he's in heaven. Sometimes it's just natural causes. Sometimes that cedar who's been such a blessing, their job is fulfilled. Their course has been run. But there better be some fir trees and some oak trees that'll stand up and do their job. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, I'm almost done here. Question number three. This is the last one. What do you do when the cedars are falling? God looked around and he said, how, fir tree? How, O ye oaks of Bashan? The cedars are falling. The mighty are spoiled. The vintage is coming down. Interesting. May I say this, something interesting here. And slackness is a reason that many trees fall. But in chapter 11, verse 1, open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire, may devour the cedars. That the fire, what did he say? Open thy doors, Lebanon. In other words, he's saying you haven't guarded yourself. So you've opened yourself up to fire. By the way, no tree is a match for fire. And no person is a match for Satan. And if you don't guard yourself, you're asking for the fire to consume your life. Interesting. What do you do when the cedars are falling? Very simple. We'll let you go home and be safe as you go home. Number one, according to verse 2, stay put. I don't care who falls around you, you stay put. I don't care who messes up, who gets into sin, who made the wrong choices, who ran around with some other guy's wife, what preacher lets you down, what guy that you used to respect, I don't care what they do. What does he say? Listen, your concern isn't the fact that the cedars are falling. I'm asking you to howl, fir tree. I'm asking you to step up and howl, you oak of Bashan. You just stay put. So often when the faithful fall, others give up because of it. In my years of evangelism, every church you go to, somebody's like, well, I just really haven't really gotten active in church anymore. I was a member years ago, and we had a pastor, and boy, we really respected him and loved him. And he really messed up, stole money, stole a woman's, whatever the case might be. And I tell you, it's just really gotten to us. Listen, if that cedar fell, that's that cedar's problem. But you need to stay put where you are. God is looking for the lowly fir and that little old oak tree to be consistent. Maybe you'll never be like the cedar you admired, but you can step up and be the oak tree or the fir tree God called you to be. You know, it was a wonderful day when I realized I'm probably not a cedar. But if God's allowed me to at least be a fir tree, and if God's put me in my little portion of land there in Kernersville, North Carolina, and he's allowed me to be a little oak, I need to stand up and do my job. Because next time you turn around, there's a whole lot of cedars that aren't there anymore. Stay put. Even if all the influential and formerly faithful fall around you, stay put. Even if everyone else has changed, don't you change. Even if others leave the forest, you stick by the wayside. Many in our generation, they move from forest to forest to forest. And they're not happy anywhere they land. You know how many guys have killed a good church? Because they come in, they're going to change the church. Don't even get me started on all this. Number two, stay put. Number two, step up. Step up. The mighty are spoiled. O ye oaks of Bashan. The vintage, those experience, listen, it's come down. But you step up. You stay where you are and you get as tall as you can be and you realize I might not be a cedar, but I'm an oak and I'm a fir and there's some seedlings around that the wind's going to come here and that cedar used to protect me, but it's time for me to start protecting them. And when the winds of change start coming at your church and start coming at you, you look at these new converts and say, hey, listen, I know that's popular right now, but just stay put. Oh, I know that's the end thing right now, but just stay put. It's going to pass like a whole lot of other things before it. But this is the truth of God's word. You just stay right there. You just stay right there. Oh, I know. It's not going to attract the 10,000 at a conference, but you just stay right there where you're at, Brother Harold. You stay right where you're at. You're doing good. You're doing right. There's a generation of guys that need to know some balance in ministry. And we need to understand that it's not about your politics, it's about prayer. Prayer. Stay put. Step up. I find the story of David in the Bible. David's older, bigger brothers stood there and looked at Goliath in that valley. They didn't do nothing. You know, the impressive-looking brothers that everybody thought, Jesse thought, surely these are the ones that are going to be the king. And Nathan looks at all these impressive boys like, nope, nope, nope. And he doesn't even bring up his other kid. And Jesse says, do you have any more sons? He's like, well, yeah, there's one out there keeping sheep. So David takes this little lunch and he shows up there at the front lines and here's this giant Goliath sitting there in the valley and he's cursing the people of God and cursing the God of the people too. And David brings this lunch and hey, what's going on here? Somebody needs to do something about that. And his big, tall, impressive brothers weren't doing anything. So David decided he was going to, and then they criticized him for it. His oldest brother got mad at him. That's what they do, by the way. When they're doing nothing and you start trying to do something, they're going to get mad at you. Brother Harold, they're going to send some emails at you because you know what? You're trying to do something. I'm sure you got them. So you know what David said? Hey, I might not be the oldest brother or the biggest brother, but I'm going to go down and do something about this. Stay put. Step up. You know, if the older adults won't do it, then you young adults should. If the older couples aren't going to do it, you younger couples ought to do it. If the men who've been there for years won't step out and do it at the church, then maybe some of you that haven't been there so long ought to step up and do it. If the older women won't sing in the choir, then the young women ought to sing in the choir. If the older men won't show up and sing in the choir, then some of you young men get back to church, start singing in the choir. If some of the mature age Christians aren't going to show up at the prayer meeting, you show up at the prayer meeting. It doesn't matter if the cedars are falling everywhere. If God's given you the privilege of being an oak tree and a fir tree that's even in close vicinity with the cedars, thank God for it. Stay put and step up. Can I give you the last thing? Stand firm. Stand firm. You say, okay, preacher, where do you find this in the passage? Guys, I think you have the CD there. Now, I had a little bit of confusion about this passage. Notice, if you would, verse 2. Howl for a tree, for the cedar is fallen. The mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan. The forest of the vintage is coming down. How does a tree howl? Trees don't make noise. Now, I know that there's things that trees can do that can make some noise, but trees don't talk. I want you to hear this. I decided to go through the sound effects list. This is a tree howling. It's what it is. Look at me. You know the only way a tree can howl is if it stands firm when the wind comes. A tree can't howl on its own. But the only way you can make noise is if it stands up against that wind. What was God saying? Let me tell you something, you little guys. Let me tell you, I know the cedars, they've always been what you've looked up to and all that. No, they've let you down, and I know that they're starting to get scattered, and I know you look around, you see damage everywhere you go. But I know you're a little fir tree, and I know you're a little oak tree, and I know that those that are bigger and better are gone, but you just stand real firm. And when that wind comes at you, howl with everything you have. You can't howl by doing anything. You can only howl by standing firm when the winds of change come at you. So what I'm challenging you to do as you leave this conference, go home and howl. You say, boy, there's some men at church who really needed to hear this. Yep, they weren't here. But you are. Boy, I wish so-and-so, I'm telling you, he really needs to hear this. But he didn't hear it, but you did. You just stand firm. I don't care if they're falling all around you. Pastor, if your church is crumbling underneath you, you just stand firm. Sometimes conferences discourage more than they help. I've sat in conferences and thought, man, by the time those guys got done, man, they talk about all that God's doing, and man, they got 5,000 out this, and they got 2,000 here, and I don't know what happened. I just prayed, went in the hospital, now I got 5,000 people. I'm sitting back in the pew, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I got no hope, got no chance. Hear about all these success stories, and I'm going back to my place. Let me tell you something. Maybe you're not a cedar. It's okay. Even cedars fall. But you can be that fir tree. You can be that oak tree. And like, well, I'm not everything that other people are, but oh, here comes the wind. Here comes those storms. Here comes that sin. Here comes that temptation. And I'm just going to, I'm going to stay put. I'm going to step up and I'm going to stand firm. And as that begins to move through you, you begin to howl like you've never howled before. And all of a sudden, people hear it. People see it. People watch you. People look up. And all of a sudden, you have an impact on your church. So I guess I'm just wondering today, let's quit getting mad at God, complaining because he didn't make us a cedar. Boy, I used to think that. Stay in the conferences, you're like, ah, must be nice. Must be nice to be those guys up there. Got all the huge churches and all the whatever. And let's quit getting mad at God because we think he didn't make us a cedar. let's just start understanding. I'm fortunate just to be in the forest. I'm fortunate just to be here. I'm fortunate just to be saved. Now, over the years, I've been in this thing a long time. Brother Harold, I've watched a bunch of those cedars. Brother Ron. That success got to them. Those roots weren't as deep as we all thought. And as oppressive as a cedar tree is, when it falls, that little oak and that little fir tree stand a whole lot higher. So I'm asking you, when you get done, would you just go home? And when Satan throws that wind at you, how with everything you have? And let God do a work in your life. Love you. Appreciate you. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for the work that only you can do. Thank you for these men. Thank you for this privilege. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name.